Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
I'm showing another photograph of mine today, this one from Mount Washington up in the Cascades. It's a really beautiful spot, and I really appreciated this day to photograph it on because of those high-altitude clouds that you see in the photograph with a lot of that dark, rich color in them. And it seems like a lot of, I don't know if it's moisture or thickness or density or just that parts of it were thinner and there's passing cloud or something like that. But I really loved the light that day. It was sort of a vanilla color, at least in the higher part. But you see those dark blues down toward the horizon where it seemed like there was a lot more of a heavy storm that was moving in. But it was a really cool spot. I think it's off Highway 126. You take that to the end, and then you come into that road that's going to take you down into Sisters right before the Hoodoo Snow Park. But you can go up there, and there's a number of spots you can get a good view of Mount Washington. Really beautiful, kind of picturesque peak, and especially when it's covered in snow like this. It looks almost like like Mount Paramount, you know, the one in the movie intro. But it was a really cool spot. It's an interesting mountain, and it's a cool spot up there. I was really happy to have this photograph and a few of the others in the sequence come out the way that they did. And it's cool. I appreciate the kind of tonal color of it and just the sharpness, the way that that mountain really kind of has a presence in the frame. You really get that with that compression of the big lens.
You can see more of my work at billynewmanphoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
Thinking about a couple of the photo things that I've been trying to put up. I just posted one earlier. It was a backpacking photo that I'd taken when we were out in the Wallowa Mountains up in the Eagle Cap Wilderness. And that's a really cool spot. I've talked about it a ton of times before, but it really is a special location as it goes, even for Oregon, which is really blessed with a lot of very nice, very approachable, photographable locations. But the Wallowa Mountains have always been something that stood out to me as one of my favorites. And I've heard that that region has a lot of stuff like that. Like as you move further over into Idaho, into the Sawtooth Mountains, into Hell's Canyon, there's a lot of really peculiar spectacles to go see in that area. And it's really interesting how it's laid out. I appreciate it. And I loved kind of getting to go through the whole area. But the Wallowa Mountains specifically have something kind of special to them, especially when you get up into the Alpine area and you get away from people. Even as it goes, when you get to Joseph, you're significantly away from people. But as you leave and kind of push in further into the Eagle Cap Wilderness, the number of people just drops down to less than a dozen by far. And even less than that, you know, as you move into the more remote areas. It's sort of interesting how there's a threshold of where people are. Like if it's under so many miles of a hike, there's going to be a lot more people there. It's just sort of evolution, maybe. It's just natural selection, right? It's where people would naturally select their interest to be closer to the main road than further and more competitive at a farther distance. And so it's interesting, like if you go to a lake that's 6 miles in, there's going to be more people there than if you went to the lake that was 9 miles in. It's just people kind of pull out first, or they pull out to the route or the trail. It's going to not be as much, it seems like. But also on top of that, really, and I blame myself for this specifically, it's way busier now. This decade, just generally, it seems like the REI or the whole outdoor industry, this whole outdoor media industry, outdoor adventure industry, it just seems like it's double what it, or it's 20% up from what it was a decade ago, if that might make sense. And the reason that I would say that is it just seems like there were so many more people filling the parking lot of the area than there were in the years past. And you know, the reason that I say that and the reason why that's qualified information maybe is it's after Labor Day now. What the trick used to be when I was doing a lot of the photo trips that I do as I kind of travel east from here and kind of do a big loop in the fall to take photos is after Labor Day, what you really notice is a lot of these state parks, a lot of the managed locations where there's a park host or something like that, those all get shut down for the winter. It's closed off, unless it's like a bigger, higher volume national park kind of area. But all of these remote locations like the Wallowa Wilderness or the Alvord Desert that we went to. These were places where there would likely be no people, especially no people if it were off hours, off season sort of stuff, sort of visitation. But what we noticed when we were there is that the parking lot was filled up. Like, you know, it was 50, 60, 70, 80 cars deep. They all just kind of park in a line up above the trailhead. And that's, you know, you kind of visually just are impacted by, wow, there must be this many people from all of these cars up in the mountains right now. And in the past, like when I was there in 2011 and then again in 2012 and in 13, there would be no car. Like there was five cars in the parking lot. It was me. I pulled up right to the very front. And I mean, and even when we went this last time, it was a midweek trip. It wasn't, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And even still with that midweek trip, there was more traffic up there. So we went to Arnoid Lake, I believe. And that was an area that was, I think, like 6 miles in. So a little bit of what I was talking about before, about natural selection of the hike you're going to go on that day. 6 miles is less of a hike. I think the other one, Ice Lake, is 9 miles. Maybe the other one is 10, 12, 13 miles, you know, somewhere in there. But it just kind of progressively goes on from about six. There's about one every 2 miles or so. If you kind of push, you know, you got so many more miles after that. There's this next one. So on and so forth, as you can imagine. But a lot of people go up to this lake for like a lunch day hike, which sounds like a blast, not having to actually carry all the heavy stuff with you or, you know, all the equipment, all the overnight stuff that you'd have to deal with. But it was fine. It was cool. We went up to Arnoid Lake. We camped up there for a night and we did a lot of photo stuff. But it was kind of tough because I think I mentioned on that last podcast where we were prepared, but the weather would kind of get twisted on us more often than really what I wanted it to. But the weather would kind of spin out on us a little bit. So the first night we were there, it was nice and decent in temperature and weather as we were hiking up to the location where we were going to camp. There's only one other couple camping up there. I think it was like a mom and a daughter team that were they were camped out at a site. And then so we pulled away from them on the lake and, you know, it's just the whole lake to us, which is really cool. It was fun. So we shot around there for a while, but there's rain that picked up. It was probably one of the first rains of the season. Well, at least for me or for us or for that area. But it seemed like it kind of built up over the mountains, you know, like how you see storm systems kind of build up over the mountaintops sometimes. It seemed sort of like it was that, like it was some kind of weather pattern that was about the Wallows. It seemed like it was nice everywhere else, but it just seemed like it wasn't very nice there. So we camped there for the night. We got through some rain. It was nice the next morning. We took a lot of photos that morning, a lot of photos through the day. We kind of walked around the lake. You know, it was interesting. I guess way back before it was a wilderness area, before whatever kind of legislation went into effect in the 60s, I think, was it the Nixon era? You know, when Nixon had just gotten in and what was it, like 68, and they pushed for the Wilderness Act or the Wild and Scenic Act, or probably there's a bunch of stuff before that. But from way back, like 100 years ago, like before these regulations existed on what could and couldn't happen in wilderness areas, I guess it was a bot area next to that lake, and they had built like 6 or 7 cabins up there. Like they just cut down wood and built these cabins. So you go up there, and I think they're still owned as private property. It was sort of grandfathered in once the whole wilderness thing was established. There's a lot of those private land facilities that were grandfathered into that system because they had already existed there. So these are all like undeveloped, unmaintained things that I guess you could pay someone to hike up all the way there and then camp there if you'd want to. It seemed a little dilapidated to me, though. I don't know if I'd want to put out some cash for that, especially after hiking all day. I might as well just take my tent or hammock or sleeping pad or something, you know, if I'm doing that. But it was cool to go check out, and it was kind of cool to spot something a little different up there. But it was really fun. You know, honestly, I don't like the cabins, because really what I want to go to the Wallowas for is the wilderness experience, is the getting away from the cabins, the private property, the signs that say, you can't go here, someone else owns this sort of thing. I'm trying to get away from that and go to public land or go to places where I have access, where I get to do things. And so if it's in civilization, like downtown, and I see private property or whatever it might be, or, you know, this is ours, it's not yours, I say, all right, fine, that's okay. Because that's the negotiation we've made here in civilization. But when we go way out, when we've hiked in miles and miles under our own discipline and accord to get somewhere to spend time there, and then there's some sign, some indication that we're not supposed to be there, or we're not supposed to be a part of it, or we're not supposed to whatever, we're supposed to respect their private property, And it's a big open field. That is a place that everyone gets to hike to. That's just a big lake. That's a tourist destination. No, I'm not respecting that rule. I'm going wherever. I'm going to do whatever. That's your business to get a camp host to discipline, not mine. So that might be a lake that I don't go to anymore, or that we won't really hike out to again. I think mostly, you know, photos were fun. It was fine, other than like not really getting the light and the opportunity, you know, running into a storm, all the rest of it. That kind of took away a little bit, but really there's just not as many, how do you say, like priority landscape features at that location. There's a pretty lake. It's very nice. It's very alpine looking in, you know, in its presentation, but it just didn't really have one of those AAA titles to photograph when you get there. There's not like a lake and then this really cool perspective of a mountain. It's just sort of a big ridge that runs along this glacial lake. Cool, really pretty, beautiful, shouldn't take away from it, but when your goal is just kind of to get to a specific kind of thing and then get a photo in the can, as they'd say in the biz, or you know, when you get to finish it, it's done, it's already locked off and it's already captured, you got what you want, then you can move on. It just didn't really feel like we got there at our location in the Wallowa Mountains. But it was super fun being there. It was cold at night, though. Man, made mornings bad. That's the thing that sucks about morning photos. At night, you get the sun to heat up the earth all day, and then you get to go out and take photos of it. In the morning, though, it's just been cold the whole time, especially as we move into fall, as we move into winter. Like, that cold just really starts to peak, it seems like. Or, you know, we're getting really close to the freeze. I'm sure it was already freezing up there above the alpine level, like we were 7,500 feet, something like that. So that's a lot, or you know, from coming down here. Oh man, and the altitude, not altitude sickness, but altitude fatigue. It just drew on me. Marina too, she really noticed it. But you know, as you go around, it's like 1 o'clock that next afternoon. You're just trying to have energy to sit and eat lunch, it seemed like. It seemed like, you know, if you really pumped up and you really got to hiking or something, you could struggle through it. But just that native energy that you would have to go do something, it just was really zapped. That might be just from sleeping on rocks for 4 days beforehand and then trying to hike or something like that. But it's weird. I don't know. I remember a couple other times, you know, if you backpack and you climb up an elevation, it just can be really fatiguing. So we made it through it. I posted a photo up to Instagram today. It's hitting Facebook and Twitter and the whatnot this afternoon. I'm also trying to run through and find a good video clip, like a good behind-the-scenes video clip of us kind of walking through or running around up in the Wallowas as we were hiking. And I know I have a bunch of those of us backpacking and trying to put in some work to get to a spot to take some cool photos. So.
You can check out more information at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can go to BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's patreon.com/BillyNewmanPhoto.
But yesterday I took off on a drive. I went up the Mackenzie River and I've been trying to go up to a few spots and then develop more photographs just from that location. Try and work on some stuff there. And it was good though. It was cool to get a couple of minutes to try and work on some longer photographs. Really nothing stellar from that location, but part of what I'm noticing is you really need more times in your life when you're up to bat, or when you're there, when you're at the place, when you're at a day of work. All that's kind of to say the same thing, but when you're participating, when you're out and doing it. And I'm trying to develop that more, where it's just, oh, I was out taking photos 4 times today instead of 1 time, you know, this week or something. So I think it's just the your personal ability to cultivate those situations where you get to take photographs, that's almost really what it seems to be to work as a photographer, is to cultivate the next time you're going to be able to take photographs, and to try and cultivate that in a rapid succession so that you compound that
and really make efficiency or an efficient use out of your time. But I think about that a lot. It was cool going up yesterday. I was working with the Sony A7R stuff as much as I could, and I was trying to work on some long exposure stuff, sort of mapping or matching the like the river and the rocks of the shore, or some of the stuff on the far end of the lake. That was kind of cool to sort of work with a little bit. But I'm trying to work on a few of those a little, I don't know, slower tripod shots, let's say, but some photographs where you're kind of getting into a situation that's a landscape and you're trying to be just a little bit more patient and try out a couple different options and then, you know, wait for the light to come in a little better. And that's a few more of the techniques in the fine art photography side that that I really like, but I don't really get to express or get into as much, especially in the product photo side or the event photo side that I end up working in most of the time. So it's cool though. I mean, I've been pretty happy trying to get out and do some photo stuff, and it was really nice getting out and trying to put some stuff together for myself. But I don't know. It's good kind of working some of those ideas out. I'm trying to take more photos of myself too. I noticed that as I go back through my library. I just completed trying to cut down a lot of the photos over the last like 10 or 15 years or so into a collection of maybe some of the best and some of the best versions of the file itself too. It seems almost like a silly idea, but what ends up happening is you end up losing over time the best raw file that you have of that image if you're not careful, right? Like if you edit the image or you resize the image for the, you know, that's the version that ends up going on social media a lot of the times is an image that's smaller than 3 megabytes. And a lot of the time, 3 megabytes is really going to be a downsized, compressed JPEG image that I put together. And over time, what I've noticed is that a few of these pieces that are maybe some of my favorite photographs, the version available that I can find right now, that's this JPEG version. So I'm trying to go through and clean that stuff up. And it seems like I've done a good bit of the start of that. But the next part really is produce. It's really get out and try and be in places to make photographs that are new for the year of 2018. I need to be producing the files and then getting that work product out. I need to be able to, you know, finish it, edit it, and publish it in a way that's effective. You know, if I'm going to bother to say that I'm a media creator or I'm a photographer, any of that stuff. So so it's been good kind of getting out. There's the Mackenzie River Drive. There's been a couple other deals, like out to the Deschutes River. I'll get into that on a podcast. Some stuff out on the coast that was cool. Some stuff up near the Tulip Farm in Woodburn. All that stuff's starting to come together. And I have a few ideas for the rest of April, too, that might involve that. But on to other news. I think I'm dropping Hootsuite. I've been working with Hootsuite for a couple years, and I don't really feel like I'm getting the value out of it that I need. It's costly, actually, is a big part of it. It's like a monthly bill. It's probably more than Netflix is a month, but what I need to do is kind of transition over to whatever other ideas that are out there for scheduling posts on some of these platforms. And I think that's what I'll be able to do in a pretty effective way, is try and put a little bit more time into these platforms specifically to schedule out these posts for a business page or for whatever it is. But I think I can do that within Facebook uniquely, and I think I can do that from a few of these other platforms too. And I just don't use enough of the other features associated with Hootsuite to really interact with my social demographic that much. I use like the platform most of the time to do that. But Hootsuite's a mechanism I use to try and publish to multiple places at once. And maybe now, maybe a couple years later, there's some alternatives or some competitors that that offer some of the features that I was looking for when I first got into the Hootsuite pattern of stuff. So it was cool to try for a while, but really what I noticed overarchingly is that they haven't regenerated a lot of their interface, and so a lot of the things that were glitchy and buggy problems years ago when I started using it, they're still the same kind of glitchy buggy problems. And really it's the location of the problem is always in the upload module, which is really the only thing I use for the service. So I just got smart and I decided to quit that and jump ship and go to some other service. There's a free option of Hootsuite. Maybe I'll continue to use that. That service is 3 social media accounts is what it shows. There's probably some other limitation to it. And I know there's another service called Buffer that I'd used in the past, and I think I might check them out again and see if there's an opportunity to use that interface to do some Buffer stuff here on out. But yeah, if anybody's super curious, that's how I sneak in some of the photo stuff that I try and put up on social media across the board, trying to make it a little easier on myself. I have all these photos, and I'm trying to organize them and then write captions for them in bulk and then put them up online if I can. But yeah, so it's going okay. You know, it's always kind of a process trying to get some of the media stuff together. And really, like I was talking about, outside of media and YouTube channels and other things like that, what I'm really trying to focus on in 2018 is photographs. Am I making photographs? Am I getting to places to make photographs? Am I wrapped out in these other side responsibilities that really aren't going to compound and benefit me when it comes back to my main goal here? So I don't want to dilute myself in places where, you know, where I just can't really be my best. There's like an amount of diminishing return that seems to happen. So I've kind of thought about that a little bit, but the need to make content and to make stuff and to produce, I mean, that's, you know, that's what media creation is. So.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on BillyNewmanPhoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts, all pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.